Well, good morning, everybody. It is great to be here with you guys today. I'm excited to be here. I'm always excited to have a chance to be able to share my heart and do appreciate this church. It was actually about a year ago this very weekend that this church prayed for Molly and I before we left and moved down to South Sacramento and started working at a church down there. And after college, I worked at a church in Redding before I ended up in Yuba City. You know that you're obedient to God when you move to Yuba City, okay? I just want to brag a little bit about myself, okay? You know that's a tough call, but I was there for about 3 years. Met the woman of my dreams, fell in love. She captured my heart, and we ended up moving to Carmichael, and then we spent almost a year here at the church with you guys, getting to know a lot of you guys. My wife had been here for a long time, so some of you guys have known Melanie and her family for a very long time, and so it was neat to be able to learn this side of their family. And that's when we got to meet a lot of your great staff here, and Pastor Kurt and Becky have become dear friends. Kurt is constantly encouraging me and helping equip me still, and I just love his heart to reach out and love on me and share with me his life. And the Potrazes have been awesome people. I know my wife has just kind of looked to Amy as this amazing example too of what it means to be a faithful wife, a faithful pastor's wife. And so your church body continues to pour into us. Even though we're in a different place, at a different church, this church family continues to pour into us. You're praying for us when you see things. You hear about our needs, you pray for us. And so we just love this opportunity that we get to be able to be with you again, because we miss being here. It's hard sometimes to leave places that you're so fond of, because we miss being here. We miss hearing your great pastors share God's word each week. So it's a privilege for us to be here with you guys this morning. I understand a lot of the young people will be in the service with us this morning, and so if you guys get bored, young people, if you get bored, you can draw a picture, okay? Do a free draw on the back of one of your coloring sheets. You can do a picture of one of the stories we're going to talk about in the Word today, okay? So if you run out of time, think about some of the things we're sharing from God's Word and draw your best picture on that. And I want to see those afterwards, okay? So if you get done coloring and you have some extra time, make sure you guys do something like that, because I really want to see what's stirring in your mind as you think about some of the things, too, that we're talking about, okay? You guys tracking with me? Good. Good, good. Well, today we're going to continue on in Matthew 6. We'll continue on in Matthew 6. And before we do, let's just quiet our hearts before the Lord in prayer. Lord, we love you so much. And we thank you for this chance that we have to spend time in your word. And I pray that whether we're young or whether we're old, whether we're new to you or we've walked with you faithfully for years, that this truth would become more real in our lives today. That God, we would be captivated with your love and your word today. Speak to us now, Father, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to be picking up in Matthew chapter 6, towards the end of it in verse 19. To me, chapter 6 is a lot about Jesus and his teaching of what it means to be authentic. And the word authentic, I think, is a powerful word. You know, it means not false, not copied, authentic, something real, genuine. Having the origin supported by unquestionable evidence. Matthew 6 is about being authentic in the way we live our lives out. And today we're going to be talking about investing. It's important to remember that God has called us to live our lives out authentically before others and before Him. God can't use us if we're fake. God can't use us if we're going half-hearted into something. God wants people to be authentic. And sometimes being authentic means our shame comes along with us. Our past is a part of it. The consequences of prior choices do affect us. But God has called us to live out an authentic life, especially in the way we invest. So as you look through chapter 6, it talks about giving to the need, giving to the needy. So why is it important to give to the needy? You guys have talked about prayer. Why is it important to be authentic in the way you pray? Why is it important to be authentic in the way you give, in the way you fast, and in the way you invest in people and in the kingdom of God? Today we're going to try to unlock that answer. Because it seems to me that being authentic in the way we invest is very important to God. Is it important to you? Is it important to you? Follow along with me as we read from Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 19. Jesus says, "Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." In order to be authentic, to be genuine in the way we invest, we have to understand how to live out this teaching of Jesus Christ. Giving a tithe, giving money to the church is not the only way we invest. So although Pastor Kurt probably wanted me to talk about tithing this morning, it's not going to be a message about just tithing. So he's going to have to pick up that part of the message another time. Because I think it's more than just the way we invest with our money. I think it's about the way we invest with the way we live our lives. Giving a tithe and offering, it does, though, give us a little bit of a sense that we're accomplishing God's will, right? I mean, we give and we see things happen. We see things in our church buildings change. We know young people get God's word and food at youth group and things like that. We give money to our church and we see how that's impacting our community. So giving money gives us this sense that we're investing in something, right? But it's not just about that. There were some notes in a study Bible that I have that says, "Storing up treasures in heaven is not limited to tithing, but is accomplished by all acts of obedience to God." Think about that for a second. Let that roll around in your mind for a moment. Treasures in heaven being stored up is not limited to tithing. So often we limit God because we think this is the only way we can give. This is the only way we can invest. Storing up treasures in heaven is accomplished by all acts of obedience to God. Being active and authentic in the way we invest requires obedience in every aspect of our life, not just with our money. So in Matthew 6, I love the imagery that Jesus uses in these verses. The first image we come to in this text is this idea of treasure and treasury. When I was a little boy, I was obsessed with finding buried treasure. I would often ask my parents to bury a box out on our 5 acres somewhere, and I would put little trinkets in it that I only thought were valuable, that meant nothing to anybody else, and they would bury it, and my parents would make a treasure map, and I would go find it. Every year I go home for Christmas, we still do that. No, I'm just kidding. But it was so much fun for me to go find these little treasures hidden. You know, and I was one of those kids that would find something and I thought it was so special. I thought, and this was a very confused moment of my life, but I thought in the men's restroom there was these shiny, magic-looking type stones in the urinals. And I thought these things were precious gems. And so I began taking them from the urinal. I'm putting them in my locker. And I was not a young person when I did this. I was like in fourth or fifth grade. And I thought, this is a valuable treasure that I could use someday. So before long, there was a smell. And the teachers opened up my locker and they found where all of their bathroom sanitizing stones had gone in my locker. They said, why would you do this? I was like, this is so precious. This one thing means so much to me. It's got to be valuable. And I remember the principal, he looked at me, he goes, well, it has value to you, but it's not valuable like you think it is. All of us have perspective on the things that we value. And we associate value to certain things. And it's the value we put on things that we start to focus on, that become our treasure. Even if you aren't a person who has valuable treasures here on earth, maybe you are so poor that it's not even funny. Each of us have things in our life that we deeply value. And often the things that we deeply value are the things that we tie our identity to. I believe there probably are some things in our life that matter more to us that should matter less to us. Jesus points out that the things that matter to us most should be things of eternal value, of eternal significance. The next time you go grocery shopping, ask yourself, with everything you purchase, what is the eternal significance when you go grocery shopping? Nothing! Right? We need nourishment to survive. But this question can't be applied to every aspect, like grocery shopping. But with other ways we live our life, it sure can. So let me ask you this. In order to be authentic, to be genuine in the way you invest, what values and worth of possessions need to change in your life so that you can truly impact the kingdom of God in all you say and in all you do? What things in your life serve as a source of your current identity that need to be changed to more clearly reflect the power of God in your life? Because Scripture tells us, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What needs to change in your life? The second vivid image that Jesus uses is in verse 22, where he describes our spiritual vision by saying the eye is the lamp of the body. Pastor Matt shared with me a podcast, a message online, basically, of a preacher who was speaking through the same chapter that we're same part of the chapter that we're in today. And he said this, the eye is the tone of your heart. The eye is the tone of your heart. It so impressed me because I think the pressure of having stuff can cloud our spiritual vision. I think the pressure of having things in our life clouds us seeing God clearly and seeing God at work clearly. I can't tell you how many times, and I work with young people, they tell me they think their parents' cell phones are more important than spending time with them. I think things cloud our spiritual vision. Because as parents, we are called to be disciple makers of our children. We are given the opportunity as parents to invest in that child's life. And often young people tell me they feel like their parents' cell phones are more important than them. That's kind of a crazy reality. And maybe some of you guys don't even know what a cell phone is, okay? But I think in every aspect of our life, we probably could identify at least one thing, one element that clouds our spiritual vision. Because if we can't see and hear God clearly, then we won't be able to authentically invest the way God has called us to. I believe that God wants us to be able to clearly see Him at work in this world. And not just in this world, but in your neighborhood. And not just in your neighborhood, but in your home, at your job, with your friends. I believe that God wants you to be able to see Him clearly working in people's lives and hearts, to be able to have the right conversations, to be able to bless them and encourage them. That's what this idea of investing is all about. Because it's not just about money. It's about being obedient to obey. It's about being obedient to God in every aspect of your life. It is by no mistake your friends are who they are. How are you investing in them for the glory of the kingdom of God? It is by no mistake that you are neighbors with some of the people you are neighbors with. How are you investing in their lives for the kingdom of God? How are you pointing them to Jesus and His truth? How are you living out His truth in your actions as well as your words? The Lord wants to be able to us to be able to clearly see Him, to be able to partner with Him so that we can serve Him in every area of our life. But we can't do this if we're more focused on ourselves than serving others. Our self-service is of no value. Our self-service is of no eternal value. So let me ask you this. In order to be authentic, to be genuine in the way you invest, what must you do to restore your spiritual vision? What are you spending your time with every day? What has your priority? What has your focus? What must you do to restore your spiritual vision so you can partner with God in impacting our world, your family, with the kingdom of God? The third example Jesus paints for us is this idea of masters and mastery. Personally, I work at a church part-time. I also substitute teach within a few different school districts. And then I also now am going to be working at Starbucks. Okay? I'm excited about Starbucks because now I will be able to save money every single month instead of pay Starbucks. Okay? But let me tell you this. If Starbucks ever wants me to work when I'm already committed to my ministry, I'll have to tell them no. And it may mean I have to walk away from that. I know with subbing, if I get a call from one district that pays me this much, and I get a call the same day from a district that pays me this much more, guess who I choose? Right? We choose what's going to be our master all the time. What things are going to be most important to us. Jesus very clearly paints in this third image about masters and mastery. Jesus says we cannot serve two masters. There probably will come a day when I'll have to walk away from working at Starbucks because it'll ask me to choose. There will probably come a day when I'll have to walk away from substitute teaching because it'll ask me to choose. And my master is the Lord, and my calling in life is ministry. And that will always win. In our lives, we have things that master us that should not have any mastery in our lives. Jesus says we cannot serve two masters. Sometimes our desire for money and possessions end up outweighing our commitment to investing in the kingdom of God. They outweigh serving other people. We focus more on having and getting than ever doing and serving. So here's the truth about mastery. We end up serving the things we are invested in. We end up serving the things we are invested in. So if we are authentic in the way we choose to invest in the kingdom of God and His ways, do you get that concept then? If we're authentic in our pursuit, in our relationship with God, That's what we spend our focus and energy on. Scripture is clear on this point. So let me ask you this question. In order to be authentic, to be more genuine in the way you invest, can you honestly say that God, and not money or possessions or things of this world, is your true master? Is God your true master? This type of genuine investment that God is calling us to live out in Matthew 6 requires us to check the motives and intentions of our heart. Matthew 6:45 says, "The good man brings good things out of the good stored in his heart, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks." Another translation of the Bible says, "A good person produces good from the treasury of a good heart." Jesus says, "Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth." And he links our condition, our actions of storing up things here for ourselves. He links it to the reflection and attitude of our heart. Because if my heart really isn't into something, I'm not going to be very genuine or authentic about it, right? I can't tell you how many times I see the trash needing to be taken out, and I don't get really excited about that and scream and yell, "Wah, trash time!" No. It's a burden to have to walk out in the rain. It's a burden for me. That's the genuine response to the trash. There are things in our life, elements of our life, that serve as trash, that keep us at bay from really experiencing God, that we have to go over every time we want to encounter Him. I would venture to say that maybe one of the reasons why it might be hard for some people to engage in a spiritual community, a place that's seeking after God, is because they have so much trash in their life that it's the distraction from them. And they don't want to deal with it because they can't get excited about taking care of business. And so that keeps them from truly encountering God. Or if they do encounter Him, they have to climb over all of it rather than get rid of it. So when we talk about treasury and we talk about our treasures and the mastery of our heart, we have to think about what keeps us from having eternal significance in the things that we do treasure and possess. God wants His people to invest in things that are eternally significant. And if I'm committed to an authentic, genuine idea of investing in the kingdom of God, my actions and my heart will reflect this. There are three different types of investing that God wants from His people. Number one is God wants 100% of your life, relationships, and material possessions. Bottom line, wow, that's easy, right? No, it's not. It's not easy. Have you been able to give 100% of yourself, your possessions, your friendships, to God? It's not an easy thing. Are you living in surrender of those things to Him? The Bible tells us that if we are to follow Jesus, then we need to love Him more than we love anything or anyone. He's very clear. In Romans 12:1, we are called to present our bodies as a living sacrifice to God. This is our spiritual act of worship. God doesn't want a portion of our lives. He wants all of our lives. Our heart, our soul, our intentions, our actions. I know many people who call themselves Christians and claim that their relationship with God is the most important thing that they have. But they don't back it up by being authentic in the way they invest. They don't back it up by the way they invest. Some of them struggle with giving more time and attention to material possessions and to earthly relationships than they do to pursuing a holy relationship with God. They conveniently squeeze in the things of God into their schedule. rather than basing their life and schedule on their pursuit of God. Using our stuff becomes more important than spending time with the Lord. We have to buy these things and get these things, then we have to use these things, and those things take place. Our kids' involvement in sports becomes more important than them being a part of church and youth group, missions trips, opportunities like that. We go and get and do, and we forget how important it is to spend time with God. God wants 100%, which we express then in true faith and obedience. Because if we want to live out this teaching of Jesus, we have to be people committed to giving God 100% of our lives, of our relationships, and of our material possessions. The second thing I want us to think about is God wants a percentage of your time. If it's not enough that He wants 100% of you, He wants a percentage of that, of your time, for very specific reasons. In the Old Testament, there is this principle called Sabbath. It was a holy day, a day of rest, a special time God set aside for His people, a time of worship and rest. How much time, how much Sabbath do you give to God? How much time of worship and rest do you give to Him? How much personal time are you giving to God? Just being with Him. How much time do you volunteer and serve at your church? God wants you 100% of the time, but He asks for you to give a percentage of Him, a percentage to Him in worship and rest and in service. Are you giving that percentage to Him? Are you giving another percentage to ministry and service? Because if you want to live out this teaching of Jesus, we have to be people who are committed to giving God a percentage. If we're focused on giving Him 100%, then the percentage of that should be to ministry. A percentage of that should be to serving others. A percentage of that should be to worship and rest. Some of you need to go home and you need to map out your day and your week to clearly be able to see if God has truly 100% of you and what healthy percentage goes to these things of worship, rest, service, and giving. The third thing is God wants a percentage of your money. Very clearly it says in the Old Testament that they were required to give 10% tithe, a portion of their money. In the New Testament, things change a bit for us because we're no longer under that law and required to give that way, but under the new covenant of Christ, we are challenged to give our money as an investment into the kingdom of God. Giving our finances demonstrates our obedience to God. This passage we read ends by saying, "You cannot serve both God and money." So many of us think that when we give our 10%, we're done. But money continues to have its mastery in our life. Giving our finances to God demonstrates our obedience to Him. Because we love Him and have given 100% of ourselves to Him, we should also desire to give something back so that His ministry might continue, so that His kingdom might be established. What we do have, we should recognize as something God has just entrusted to us. What are we doing with the things, the resources, the time, and the money that He has entrusted with us? One of the most powerful experiences I've had in the last few months was attending the funeral of Pastor Cal. Although I never met Pastor Cal, I was at his funeral. And if you were there, you know that they shared the story of the 10 talents and how the king, the man, gave this money to these his servants. And some of them did really well by investing it. And he said, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And they compared this man, Pastor Cal, as a 10-talent man. Someone who had taken what he was given and had reinvested it into the world in which he lived. So I want to challenge you, this church where he stood and served for so long, to think about your talents, the things you possess, your worth, and the things that you value. Are you investing them the right way? Because we have to be people who are authentic in the way we invest. And a man like Pastor Cal does not get called a 10-talent man by being anything but authentic and genuine and committed to investing in the kingdom of God. What matters more to you? Recognize the things that God has entrusted you with. So if we want to live out this teaching of Jesus, we have to be people committed to giving financially a portion of our income. We spend a lot of money on ourselves, on our family, and our friends, and each of us, whether we're poor or rich, probably could identify areas of our spending that really aren't the best. We are challenged to demonstrate our obedience to God through giving a percentage of our money. Our world is filled with takers who love freebies. I am one of them. If you tell me I get free something, I want it. You tell me this is a deal, I'm going to do it. We're all there. Marketing companies understand this. That's why they do what they do. And they're good at it. The truth is God is calling us to be active investors in the things that matter for eternity. Not to be people who are filled with a desire for the freebies. The society we live in tries to capitalize daily on our human nature of wanting all those free things. They use this thing called greed in our life to hook us in, to grab our attention. It's interesting, a lot of those things that we get grabbed with look really amazing on the outside, but inwardly, once we start to experience those things, they have no significance or value. Selfish attitudes directly oppose God's desires for us. God wants givers and investors, not takers. Selfishness causes us to lose perspective. To lose our perspective. When we're selfish, when we focus on the wrong things, we become consumed with getting, and we become forgetful about giving. And it's not just about giving. It's about the attitude in which we give and invest. There are times I can be honest before you and say there was money I put in my offering plate, and I held on to it as long as I could. Our attitude in giving and our attitude in investing has to be different. Giving our tithe and spending time in service at church, it's not just like paying a bill or paying someone for something they do. Our attitude, our heart has to change. And a lot of times, the attention we desire from giving has to change too. God knows our heart. He knows everything about us. Giving is our response of love and obedience to God. 1 Timothy 6, verse 10 says, "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil." Think about those weeds in your backyard, in your front yard. Those root systems are wild and crazy. And although you might get the top of it at the very surface, those roots have spread out far. And they keep popping up. The love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Jesus said, "You cannot serve both God and money." In Matthew chapter 19, Jesus has an encounter with a young man. In chapter 19, starting in verse 16, it says, "Now a man came up to Jesus and asked, 'Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?' Jesus says, 'Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments.' 'Which one?' the man inquired. Jesus replied, 'Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself. All these I have kept.'" Oh, he was such a proud man. "I've done all those things. I'm a good person. Which do I still lack?" the young man said. Verse 21, Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come, follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. Some of you listen to that story and you're like, "I'm poor. This doesn't really affect me. I don't have to worry about that." There's something about living our life and living authentically in the way we invest. Because although this man had kept all these holy commands of God, he was not willing to step aside from the things of this world in order to invest in the kingdom of heaven. Many of us are like him, because we encounter Jesus. We encounter him through his word. We encounter him through worship. We've encountered God through speaking with our friends. We've encountered God just like this man did. And whether we want to admit it or not, we react the same way. God says, "Live in complete obedience and surrender to me. Live authentically and genuinely in the way you invest in the kingdom of God." And we say, "But God, I really need to do this. I've really got to have this. But God, I want this." And we step back and we step away from authentically investing in the kingdom of God. We aren't willing to give the Lord 100% of our lives, our relationships, our possessions, because our hearts are more captivated by the things of this world. If we want to live out this teaching of Jesus, we have to be people committed to giving God everything and living in complete surrender to him. I want to close this morning by sharing just one more part of Scripture with you. It's a passage of Scripture that brings conviction to my heart. Mark chapter 12. At the end of Mark chapter 12, we have this glimpse of Jesus. Jesus sat down opposite the place the offerings were put. This is verse 41 of Mark 12. "And watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a fraction of a penny. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, 'I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put everything. All she had to live on, she gave.'" Our text this morning said, "Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, or thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourself treasures on heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." The heart of that woman was to give all she had and surrender to God. May we be people who are known for investing everything we have towards advancing and building the kingdom of God. not the kingdom of Nick Emery, not your kingdom, but God's kingdom. The greatest legacy we can leave is to be known as a person who gave everything they had to God and to hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." God is asking us to be authentic in the way we invest, and to not continue to store up for ourselves things here on this earth, but to be authentic in investing in the kingdom of heaven. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that we would be people who are known for the way we invest everything. It is a desire of this church to be known by something, something that's not of their own nature, but something of you, God. That the way they live out their faith, the way they live out in love towards other people, that they would be known as people who are pursuing you. So I pray that this church may be known for the way in which they choose to invest in your kingdom and in the lives of others. That, God, it would be a holy reflection of who you are and what you desire for them. That, Lord, we would take your truths today and that we would give to you 100% our lives. The relationships and friendships we have, God, the things that we own, that we would use those things for you and for your glory. That, God, we would remember to give to you a percentage of our lives in worship, in service, in rest. That, God, we would be willing to give out of obedience a portion of our money, because we desire for greater things to be established here on earth for your glory and in your name. We love you, God, and we confess our need for you. Thank you for this truth. Thank you for your love and your truth in our life. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.